Still not an enough amen. You belong to a winning team, so you need to give an amen like your team is winning. Amen.
Amen.
I'm still not sure that your team is winning. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We thank God for His grace. And I thank God that I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. That even in this life, whatever life throws at me, I'm able to handle it because I've got Jesus. That song that we sang now, it says, "You are the pillar that holds my life." Meaning, there are things in this life that need you to have a pillar. Sometimes you might find that you go through things and you come to that point. How many of you have heard people saying, "I can't take it anymore"? Yes, you are not supposed to take it anymore. The Lord is supposed to take it for you. Amen. So when I say you are the pillar that holds my life, I'm saying whatever the enemy throws at me, I'm able to stand because I'm with Jesus. Sometimes people would even say to you, "This is too much for me." Others even end up committing suicide, and you ask yourself, why would somebody even cut their lives short? And if you just had a minute with them before they took their own lives, they would have told you that I don't see any reason to live. My life is in a mess. Everything is against me. It's as if God is not there, or it's as if God doesn't even see me. That's the experience of most people in the world we're living in. But I thank God that I know that God is there. I know that God cares. Tell your neighbor, God cares. And He's concerned about you. Tell your neighbor again, God cares, and He is concerned about you. The only problem is that some of you know Him as the man upstairs. That's why you don't experience what we experience. We experience Him as the living God, as the mighty God, the powerful God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. So then, if I know Him as my master, if I know Him as my Lord, if I know Him as the creator of the heavens and the earth, I know He is the all-powerful God. It means nothing that comes my way can stand the presence of God. So I just want you to look at this, because I want us today to talk about God cares and He's concerned. Yeah, some of you, you experience God as a distant God, as if we will only meet Him when we go to the next life. But I want to tell you today that God is as much concerned about you now as He will ever be, always. He did not create us and place us in this world to figure it out on our own. He created us and placed us in this world to represent Him. So therefore, I know I can face anything. And for those of you who say life is so difficult, things are not working out well, Pastor, I don't know what to do next. Can we go to the book of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 13, the Message translation. Matthew 11, 28 to 30, Message translation. It says, "Are you tired?" So it's like Jesus is asking some of you who might be feeling, "I'm tired. I'm just tired. I can't take it anymore." So He says, "Are you tired? Are you worn out?" Some of you even says, "I'm burnt out." So He says, "Burnt out on religion." Then He says, "Come to me. Get away with me and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest." So it means God is concerned. Tell your neighbor, it means God is concerned. Because he asks you what you're going through, and he says, are you going through difficulties? Are you having challenges? I've got a solution for you. Then he says, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. When I look at this verse, I see that it means in this world I can live as if I'm not of this world. There are times, sometimes I would say to my wife, yo, life has been good to us, eh? I actually experience literally Isaiah 1:19. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So it means it's so much real that in this world we can live as if we are not of this world. Things in this world, since Adam and Eve disobeyed God, the enemy took over because they handed the dominion to the devil. So that's why, no wonder you see a lot of things happening, you hear a lot of murders, you hear a lot of all the bad things, people being raped, people being abused, people being killed, all the things that we hear. And then you sometimes get scared and you don't know if you are next. So I just want to tell you that I have Jesus, and he's able to give me authority and dominion over all the works of the enemy. Amen. So Jesus has restored that authority, that dominion that God intended for us as his people. He has restored it to us now. So whatever Adam lost by disobeying God is restored to me now. In a way that Jesus said in his prayer in the book of John chapter 17, he says, I do not say that take them out of this world. I say preserve them from the evil one. So in other words, I don't have to be out of this world. I will be here and live in victory here on the earth. When people don't know what to do, when people say we don't know what next in life, I will live here on earth as a child of God, as a child of the King, as somebody who is more than a conqueror. And you say, Pastor, but do we not experience problems as Christians? You're talking as if you don't have any problem, Pastor. I wish I were you. Are you a child of God? If you are a child of God, we are all like Jesus. We all have what it takes to be more than conquerors on this earth. But of course, there will be things that come to challenge you. I know that there are people who are writing exams. Some of you were writing. Some of you are still writing. There is no problem with a test if you are prepared. You actually enjoy it. Have you ever had a paper, an exam paper, where you were just enjoying yourself? Just enjoying it. But those who set the test thought they will catch you. But you find you are on top of your game. So the problem is not the test. The problem is how prepared are you for the test. So similarly, in this world, there are tests. There are challenges. So the problem is not the challenge. The problem is not the test. The problem is your foundation. How strong are you to face that test? So John 16:33 Amplified Classic. Mr. MJ will do that one for us. John 16:33 Amplified Classic. Because as we are talking about God cares and is concerned, I want to reassure you that Jesus knew that in this world you will face challenges, but you are more than a conqueror. It's like if you are a student and I tell you, in this class you will write tests, but if you are prepared, you will pass them. So there's no problem with the test. It's part of that class that you are in. So some of you are going through certain things, it just shows the standard that you are in. Do you know that the higher you go in grades, the stronger the tests become? Amen? So some of you, what you're going through now, you think, why such a thing? Why do I have to go through this? God knows that you will be able to handle it. The Bible says you have never come across a situation that is beyond your strength. So when a challenge comes in your life, God looks at it and says, she can handle it. I've equipped her to deal with things like this. God looks at it and says, that's why on Sunday I gave this message and she was there. So that when this challenge comes now during the week, she will be able to know how to handle it. Amen. So when you are going through challenges, when you are going through tests, when you are going through difficulties, don't look at it as if God doesn't care. As if, where is God? Because look at this. John 16:33, Amplified Classic.
I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence.
So he says, I've told you these things. I like it that God speaks first. He gives us a word before we face anything. He says, I've told you these things so that where will we have peace and confidence? In me. So if I am out of Christ, this thing would still not work for me. Because he says, I told you these things so that in me you might have peace and confidence. Mm-hmm.
In the world, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration.
Okay, some of you say, Pastor, you see, the Bible is very clear. In the world, we will have tribulations, trials, distress, and frustration. Now you want to say, thank God I'm going through trials and tribulation and frustration. But the verse is not complete. Okay?
But be...
Okay. If somebody says something and then later they tell you but. What is the purpose of a but? Tell your neighbor, the purpose of a but is to minimize whatever was said before the but. It's like I say to you, you will get this guy who's very strong and who wants to destroy your life, but don't fear him. He's a coward. He just speaks, but he doesn't know how to fight. You see, so it means I give you a scenario, but when I tell you a but, I'm telling you your chapter, your book is not closed yet. Tell your neighbor, your book is not closed yet. Don't close your story before the but. Whatever you are going through, let but come and nullify the things that you are going through. Amen. So he says, in the world you will have tribulations and trials and distress and frustration, but. Mm-hmm.
But be of good cheer.
Oh. Why should we be cheerful when in the world there are tribulations and trials and all that?
Take courage.
Mm-hmm.
Be confident,
mm-hmm.
certain, and undaunted.
Mm.
For I have overcome the world.
Yo.
I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it just for you.
Amen. Did you see that? He says, in the world you will have tribulations and trials and distress and frustrations, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Do not be discouraged. Because I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you. So it's almost like Jesus is saying, when the devil wants to clap you, I'm there by your side and he will not be able to clap you. Amen. Amen. Some of us, when we grew up, I used to like this thing of the elder brother. Some of us grew up, you know the thing that you guys today are fighting with and you call it bullying. Yeah, during our time, there was no such thing as called bullying. Yeah. And these days, you're so westernized that you talk bullying. In those days, even just when you go to high school, your first day at high school, they had to do something to initiate you to the big boys group. But it would come even so bad that sometimes even when we go out to tend to look after the flock, the bullies whom in those days we didn't call them bullies, they will just come and enjoy beating you, just to show that I can beat you. Not because you've done anything wrong. We just want to know who's the king of the jungle. And I used to have hair most of the time. It's only these days. So if you are bald-headed, they will just come and then they call it Chiskop Tamati. And so sometimes you would be, if you do not have somebody that you know can defend you, your life was ruined. And that's what's happened with the bullies these days. But in those days, if you have somebody who is strong and powerful, let's say you had a brother, they do that. When your brother was not there, they could do that. But then you tell them, you don't know who's my brother. Tomorrow, I'm coming back with my brother. Then they do that to you, and when you go home, you cry, and your brother says, what happened? He said, so and so did this and this and this to me. Let's go tomorrow together, my young brother. Then they would go with you. You know what happens the next day when you go? You don't wait for the bully to come to you. You go to the bully. Come. Do what you were doing yesterday. Do what you were doing yesterday. Do what you were doing yesterday. Now the bully is surprised. All of a sudden, why are you so confident? Because the big brother is here. So, and the bully knows he cannot take any chance. That's what we do with the devil. Don't you think sometimes you must say, come, try it, devil. The devil knows he can't do it because your brother is there, Jesus. He says, I've overcome the world and I've deprived it of any power to harm you. Amen. So take courage. What the enemy was threatening you with, your master Jesus, he's the pillar that holds your life. And whatever the enemy says to you that is going to destroy you with, don't fear him. As for me, I'm not afraid of the devil. Those of you who have been in church with us for some time, you know I know the enemy cannot even kill me with an accident. Some of you are still afraid. Oh, now it's December. Hey, I don't know, maybe when I go to Limpopo, maybe a truck will just do this. You are watching too much news and not studying your Bible. Amen? Because you're not quoting any verse. I'm able to quote a verse and say, 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 on the other side, but it shall not come nigh me. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my God in whom I trust. I'm able to say, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run unto it and they are safe. Amen. So it means I'm able to say I'm covered. I'm protected. I'm not afraid of the enemy. The devil is out to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So don't be afraid of the enemy. Jesus is on your side. Any one of you who has accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've got what it takes to win. But if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior as yet, it's not too late yet. Amen. God is so much concerned about us that He's not only concerned about our spiritual well-being. Even things that are troubling you in the natural. You know the Bible says even the very hair of your head are numbered. So if He's even concerned about the number of your hair, even those of us who are sometimes bald-headed, He's concerned about the number of our hair. He knows them. So now if He knows the number of my hair, don't you think He's so much concerned about every minute detail of mine? Yes, He is. And if you go with me to the book of Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 to 8, we'll read in the NIV. I want to show you that God is not only concerned about our spiritual well-being, He's also concerned about what we are going through. Some of you, things are troubling you so much, sometimes you can't even sleep. You're crying the whole night, you're pouring your heart before the Lord. I want to tell you, God sees. Amen? And sometimes you find that I'm going through these things, I'm not sure if God sees what I'm going through. I want to show you this in Exodus chapter 3, 7 to 8 NIV. And you see that God sees, God hears, and God is concerned. God sees, God hears, and God is concerned. Exodus 3, 7 and 8 NIV. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people. What did God say about the Israelites who were in misery? He says, I've indeed seen the misery of my people. This was a physical thing. It was not a spiritual misery. They were in Egypt with their slave masters driving them. So he says, I have seen the misery of my people. Tell your neighbor, the Lord sees your miseries. Yes, he sees your miseries. Tell them. And he says, I have heard them crying out because of their slave masters. Tell your neighbor, God hears your cry. He says, I've heard them crying out. God hears your cry. Sometimes, you know, when you are not going through things, yeah, that's what happens with, when you don't go through things, you keep on saying to people, every time you're crying, stop crying, man. Be a man. It's because you're not going through things. Huh? You remember Eli tried that with Hannah. She came before the Lord and she was pouring her heart before the Lord, crying before the Lord and sobbing, and the voice could not even come out. The man of God looked at her and said, when are you going to stop being drunk? She says, I'm not drunk, my master. I'm pouring out my heart to the Lord. There's something that I'm going through. I need a male child. And to her, that was a very serious matter. And fortunately, the man of God said, be it unto you as you believe. So next time by this time, you will have a son. Because God heard her cry. God hears your cry. And he says, and I am concerned about their suffering. Tell your neighbor, God is concerned. It's not like because I'm a child of God, as long as, you know, some of you says, I don't mind even if I have nothing here on the earth. I don't mind if things are, life is so difficult. As long as I know that when I die, I'll be with the Lord, spend eternity with the Lord. Yes, you will spend eternity with the Lord, but you can as well enjoy it from here. Because it's not like God said, because you will enjoy eternity with me, I'm not concerned about what you go through here on the earth. So he said a very good example here with the Israelites. He says, I've seen your misery. I've heard your cry. And I'm concerned about your suffering. Verse 8. So I have come down to rescue them. So God is not just interested in watching us as if he's watching a movie. He sees what you're going through and he says, I'm going to do something about it. Amen? Do you know that when you watch a movie, you do nothing about it, isn't it? You say it's a movie. You see the other one wanting to shoot the other one, you say it's a movie. You're not concerned, isn't it? You don't want to intervene. Any of you who ever intervened in a movie? Just leave it, it's a movie, isn't it? God does not watch movies. So with your life, it's serious to him. When you are going through those things, whatever you're going through, God says, I'm coming down to rescue you. I want to give you your deliverance. I want to give you your victory. Amen. And I like it that when he rescues us, He does not end there. I like this. This is good. This is good. He says, and I want to bring them out of that land into a good and a spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So God wants to take me from that messy situation, and he wants to plant me in the King's Highway. You know, there is a song, he lifted me up, keep my decrees, and he planted my feet on the King's Highway. And that is the reason I sing and I shout, for Jesus came down and he lifted me up. Amen. As if it's not enough, in English you go, hey, how may it the mother slay? Hey, plus may foot there, obey ever her rods. Exalt me, vankel me. Hey, plus may foot there, obey ever her rods. And the African says, is he just concerned about the English speaking and African speaking? Wani tatala, wangi susala, ulo uwelena. Amen. Amen. So one di tatala. So it seems in all the nations, all the tribes, there is nowhere he takes me for where I am, and he keeps on. One di tatala, one ivegala, one isusel. Amen. Amen. So it means with Jesus, each day is sweeter than the day before. So he says, I've come down to rescue them, but when I rescue them, I want to place them into a good and a spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, so that in this world I will not just be getting by, getting along, I will live in victory. So that in this world, God does not only just heal me, he heals me and also keep me in divine health. Yeah, I like to walk in divine health more than getting healed, but both are available. In other words, I'm putting it simple to you. Some of you want first to get sick, maybe with cancer or any other disease that's said to be incurable, so that you can give a testimony after God heals you. But can I tell you that the greatest testimony is that even when cancer is even afraid to touch you, it's even a bigger testimony than first for cancer to touch you and you get healed. Both of them are testimonies. But I like the one where cancer is even afraid to touch my body. Amen? Yeah. You know that some of you are even like giving this example. Some of you think you don't have a testimony because you have not been involved in an accident and the car was beyond repair. Because you are hearing others saying, oh, I have seen the hand of God, my brother. You see that? And maybe they even show you the pictures on that. You see, I came out of a car, this car, alive, without any scratch. That's a great testimony, isn't it? But the greatest testimony is when I have my car and it's not even beyond repair. It's even greater, isn't it? Yeah. So it means when the Lord is keeping you, each day, I've learned this thing for myself. Each day, I thank God that I walk in divine health. I don't wait to be sick to confess healing. I thank God for divine health. It's easier to confess healing when you are healed than confessing healing when you are sick. So rather use that confession as an antidote. You keep on talking about the goodness of God, before even the challenges come. And you say, I thank God that my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. My body is not the temple of sicknesses. Sickness, you've got no hold in my body. That's what we used to do during Corona time. When some of you were scared about COVID and Corona, we had a good confession with the Lord. Amen? We'd say, I'm not afraid of the enemy. Coronavirus has got no power over this body. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's not the temple of sicknesses. Every disease germ and every virus that touches my body dies instantly in the name of Jesus. Because there is a life of Jesus that flows through my body. The Bible says, the spirit of him who quickeneth Jesus from the dead, if that spirit lives in you, he will quicken your mortal body. Amen. That is the power that is at work in my body. And as a child of God, that is the power that's at work in you. The problem is that sometimes we do not know what God has rescued us. Because he says, I'm coming down to rescue them. But look at it in Galatians, because he did not only rescue them in the old covenant. Galatians 1:4 NLT. I want to show you that he actually still rescues us even now. Mr. Mkosi will read for us Galatians 1:4 NLT. Because he rescues us even now. It's not only, you see, the good thing with being saved, being a child of God. Unlike in the past when people used to teach us getting saved, they would say, you are getting saved for heaven. It doesn't matter whatever you go through here, as long as you will have eternal life to come. That was a good start, but we can't end there. Because Jesus did not make us to choose whether we will have good life here or good life to come. He said you can have both. Yes, he did. That's why he said if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Amen. Some of you would be surprised, we go to the other life and you still find us there with you, enjoying eternity with you. You say, Pastor, but it's unfair. You enjoy it there, now you're enjoying here. But God said you can have both. He did not ask us to trade. Amen. So that's why I read Galatians 1:4 NLT. Look at this.
Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live.
Oh, if you look at that Galatians 1:4, Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from what? Not from the life to come, from the hell to come. He says, from this evil world in which we live. Yes. So salvation includes being rescued in this world in which we live. You know why is that? Have you ever heard some people saying, hey, my brother or my sister, I'm going through hell. Here on earth. There are people who are going through hell on earth. So if God is only interested in rescuing me in the hell to come, what about the hell that many people are going through now? So he says, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. So actually that word rescue is the word deliver, isn't it? And usually when you rescue somebody, you know the thing about hostage takers, isn't it? People who capture others and they either will say you must pay a ransom for us to free these people, or let's exchange with something, but you are held hostage. Okay? Now, if you are held hostage, your hostage taker can do with you whatever they want at any time they want to. But can I tell you that there was a time when we were held hostage by the devil? I'll show you in scriptures. But now I'm free. The Lord has rescued me. He has paid a ransom. You say, Pastor, really? Yes, go with me to the book of Mark 10:45 NIV, Mr. MJ. Mark 10:45 NIV. Because I want to explain to you that it's unfair for you to live like you are still held hostage when Jesus' blood has rescued you. When Jesus paid the penalty of your sin, when Jesus paid even the punishment of your sickness. You know, the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we were healed. You know what happened? Because when you studied in verse 1, it says, who has believed our report? That's Isaiah 53. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Then when it goes down, it says, his face, in other words, he was mad, he was bruised, he was beaten. And those of you who have watched the Passion of Christ, they were trying to show you exactly what happened to him. Do you know that all those things that he was suffering was for your sake? Now imagine he feels all the pain like that, and the devil still wants to feel the pain again. That's not fair. It's like somebody pays for you, and he says, I've paid for you, and somebody still wants you to pay. I don't want to pay if Jesus has already paid. Amen. He paid. He gave his life as a ransom. He paid the price. Mark 10:45.
For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to save, and to give his life as a ransom for many.
Did you see the word ransom? Huh? Is there ransom in your Bible? Do we know what is a ransom? The ransom is paid. Tell your neighbor, the ransom has been paid. Tell your neighbor, you don't have to be a hostage anymore. The ransom is paid. I'm a free man. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Amen. Amen. The ransom is paid. That's why for me, you know, those of you who say, you never know, we might just go out here and then they come, hit you and you die, you're living like a hostage man. Only hostages live like that. They don't know what comes next because their hostage taker can do whatever they want to do with them. But for me, the ransom has been paid. I'm a free man. I'm walking with Jesus. Amen. I'm set free. And that's not because I'm a pastor. It's because I'm a child of God. I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. He says he came and he gave his life as a ransom. So if he came and gave his life as a ransom, it's because that's the word where we get the word redeemed. When you say you are redeemed, they say in Greek that's the word lytrosis. It means to rescue, to pay the ransom. So it's paid. You remember Jesus when he was on the cross? He said, it is finished, paid in full. Amen. So if it's paid, I don't have to pay for it again. It's paid for. I'm a free man. Amen. Because God cares and God is concerned. And you say, Pastor, really? Yes. Go with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. In the God's word, Mr. MJGW, God's word. Because I want to show you that when Jesus died, he went to the deepest of hell to rescue us. The enemy had, when Adam and Eve sinned, they handed over the authority to the devil. So the devil, that's why sin came into the world. That's why death came into the world. How many of you know that if Adam and Eve didn't sin, there would not be death? There would not be sickness here on earth. There would not be suffering here on earth. All these things came because of Adam's disobedience. But when Jesus came, he went and disarmed the enemy. And he rescued us. Yes, read God's word, Ephesians 4:8, GW.
That's why the scriptures say, when he went to the highest place, he took captive those who had captured us and gave gifts to people.
Oh, tell your neighbor, it seems we were captured. Yeah, you were held hostage until Jesus came and rescued you. So when Jesus has rescued me, you cannot keep me down anymore. I'm rescued. I'm a free man. I do not live in fear anymore because I've been rescued. I've been set free. It says, he took captive those who had captured us. Yeah, I'm no longer captured. Yeah, I mean, there's a thing that we're hearing in the Middle East about the hostages and all that. It's heartbreaking. It's a heartbreaking thing to be a hostage. Because it's almost like you depend on the mercy of your hostage taker. And I like it when the way that Jesus did it, he did not negotiate with the devil. He did not negotiate with the devil. Know what he did? Okay. Mr. Mkosi, you can read Colossians 2, 14 and 15. NLT. Actually, do 15. Colossians 2, 15 NLT. I want to show you that he did not negotiate with the devil. He rescued us. But then we'll go back and link it with the one that I was sharing with you. Colossians 2, 15 first NLT.
In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross.
So, he disarmed the enemy. He did not negotiate with the enemy. You know, when you're going to free somebody who's held hostage, you can either negotiate or you force your way and take them and rescue them. So he chose to rescue us. And we are free now. So if you read verse 14, just read 14 before you go to 15. Now you will see that actually, there was, last week I told some of you that it's like the devil thinks he has got a case for you to answer before God. But the blood of Jesus has done a perfect work that your sins cannot be traced anymore. So look at what Jesus did about your record, the record of charges. So it's like it's a day of court and the devil thinks he's got a case. Verse 14.
He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross.
Oh, this is good. Tell your neighbor, this is good, man. I mean, he canceled the record of charges. It's like they thought we've got charges against this one. This one did this and this and this and this. And then, and I think, I'm not sure how it happened, but I think the way that usually God like showing off and Jesus like showing off, I think probably it's like you leave the devil to think he's got a case until the court date. Then you cancel it on that day. So he went there very confident that he's got a watertight case. But then it's canceled. The record of charges have been canceled. I'm a free man. That's the word where you get the word justified. Justification. So justified means just as if you have never sinned. So, and that's what God does for me. So when he rescues me and places me in the King's highway. So just read Colossians 1:13, Mr. MJ, the Passion, TPT. Because this thing of being rescued, yeah, it just shows me he cares. Okay? I'll start winding down because we also have baby dedication to do. I'm enjoying this because I can just see there's no reason for me to be afraid of the enemy. Amen? The Lord is on my side. The Lord wants to give me victory. That's why Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Amen. Colossians 1:13 TPT.
He has rescued us.
Oh, so that word again. He has rescued us. It means we're in trouble, man. Those of you who have not as yet accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are still captured, unfortunately. And the enemy can do with you whatever he wants at any time he wants because he's your hostage taker. But Jesus died for every one of us. If you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you say, I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to also be sure that I've been rescued. We can pray with you. And then now you have the confidence of living on this world in victory. So he has rescued us. What did he rescue us from?
He has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom realm of his beloved Son.
Oh, he has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness. Tell your neighbor, the devil is a bad manager. Yeah, I used to joke with some of you and say, if you want to test that statement, you can see a 30-year-old who looks like 70. There are some 30-year-olds who look like 70 years old. Because the devil cannot manage. He mismanages, man. Eh? And when you are with Jesus, he restores your youth like the eagles. You find that you are 70 and people think you are 40. Amen. Because he restores your life like the eagles. He restores my youth like the eagles. He renews my youth like the eagles. I run and not grow weary. I walk and not faint. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. So that in this world you live like you are on top of everything. And other people say, but life is so tough, life is so difficult. How is it that you always keep the smile? Imagine what the eagles say to small birds. You know that small birds usually, most birds, they can only fly from one tree to the next. Huh? Birds get tired. But how many of you know about an eagle? Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up high with wings as an eagle. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. They say an eagle is like this. An eagle, when a storm is coming, the eagle is not afraid to face the storm. The eagle prepares itself for the storm. It takes advantage of the storm, and that storm will lift it up. So whatever the enemy wanted to destroy you with, let him be lifting you up. Amen. So because when that eagle goes there, unlike the small birds which are afraid of the storm, the eagle says, I will take advantage of the storm. And when we grew up, we would see an eagle far up there, and it would just be doing this. Sometimes it just stays there in one place. Sometimes just a bit of this. And other birds can't do that. So even for you as a child of God, as a Christian, you are like an eagle, man. Amen. When other birds are getting tired, you keep on soaring up high. You keep on rising up above your situation, above your challenges. Amen. So I thank God for his grace. Let me read these two, and then we're going to, we'll pack this one here. We'll continue with it next time. Psalms 107 verse 2, New King James Version. Because as much as I've shared with you these things, they will not work for you unless you start making them your own. Unless you start speaking them. Some of you keep on hearing me speak about my health, about my protection, and you think pastor is proud. The pastor is calling on, he's saying what God has said about him so that it must be real in his life. Some of you say, pastor, my faith is my private matter between me and God. But my Bible tells me you have to speak your faith. So the things that I speak, I'm not speaking because I'm proud. I'm speaking because I'm sealing it in my life. I don't want other people to say things about my life and those be the real things. You know that there are people who talk a lot of things against you. Some people are even using swearing, cursing words to bring you down. So why don't you use words to lift yourself up? I'm a child of the King. I've been redeemed. I'm set free. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. God loves me. Amen. So Psalms 107 verse 2 New King James says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. When the Lord has redeemed you, say it. Do I have some people who are redeemed here? Can we say it? I've been redeemed. I've been rescued. I've been redeemed. I've been set free from the power of darkness. I've been redeemed. I've been set free from sin. I've been redeemed. I've been rescued. I've been set free from sickness. I've been redeemed. I've been rescued. I've been set free from poverty. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The peace of God is my light. The Lord is my refuge, in whom I trust, in whom I take refuge. Amen. Amen.